Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. I went for a long ride this morning on my bike and was thinking a lot about the last couple of episodes here that I will record before I take my summer break and head out west to hammock in the mountain valley meadows, climb mountains and touch the sky, read books next to babbling Colorado streams. And it occurred to me that we are all welcoming employees to our organizations in the next few weeks. It also struck me because I had daydreamed for about 7 miles on my bike and wasn't paying attention to the storm clouds quickly approaching me from the west. That's when it hit me that we need to do some smart thinking about how we welcome people into our organization and onto our teams, as well as how we accept them into our systems culture. One of the key components to welcoming new employees is to increase the ease of that transition when they come into our organizations or our teams. You can't expect everyone coming on board to immediately understand everything, get all of the inside jokes, and recognize where to get stuff. Now, as leaders, we all need to reverse how we welcome people into our organizations, and we need to ensure that the transition is immediate and that it immediately creates engagement and loyalty to the organization and the people that they work with. And that, well, that only comes if we create clear lines of sight and make the first few interactions with a new employee more like a first date than a first day of work. As leaders, we all have responsibilities, and those are to create the conditions so that those we serve are successful. As Buffalo leaders, that means we charge into the traditional obstacles for new people, and we do it on their behalf so there is no storm at the start of their employment or interaction with their new team. Before I start, I want you to listen to this episode in the context of whatever you do, either as an employer or as an employee, either as the advocate for those who you are going to work and serve next to, or as an advocate for those who will serve and work for you. We all spend too much time with new people trying to convince them to engage early, relax about the work, or force them to fit in too quickly. So listen to this in the context of being an advocate for either those who work for you or those who work around you. In order to understand this, I have to tell you a story, well, like always. I recently took on a new side job, and upon starting, I remembered why I always dreaded the first day or days of a new job. I've been fortunate in my life not to have moved around very much in my career. But one of my greatest demotivators is paperwork and compliance kind of stuff. Filling out endless reams of insurance enrollment forms, tax forms, emergency contact lists, etc. I also am amazed that so many people who employ others give them a typhoon-like tour of the organization and introduce people in other roles, and then they just keep moving you around and around and around. But I want you to think of this metaphor, and the metaphor is that of a moving train. Organizations and teams are in constant motion, and when you welcome someone into your organization, it is like they are expected to jump onto a moving train like some sort of a superhero. Like they are supposed to understand the landscape and their way around, and then they are supposed to remember all of the information. We expect people to learn the culture over time, and we expect them to build their own relationships, or we assign them a mentor that we chose. We expect them to understand tax code information, what type of chair they like, and we make a million assumptions about them before they even begin. So when I took on this new role recently and was hit with a barrage of paperwork, it stood against all things I believed in. And I was also totally disengaged and frankly upset that this is how it started out. Then you throw in a million passwords and platforms and softwares and keys, and I have to have all of this understanding, and I have to do it very quickly, and I'm ready to jump off that moving train. I left the first couple of interactions completely exhausted, a little anxious, and very frustrated. Frustrated because asking for help made me feel weak. Asking for support made me feel guilty, like I was bothering someone. And asking for clarifications, well, it made me feel like I was stupid. Which is why I want you to reflect on a few things this week with your teams and your organization. Because it really stunk when this happened to me. And I'm 50 years old. What does that feel like to a person who's younger, who just graduated or just got certified and, is changing jobs for the first time in their life, and they enter your organization. Someone who's never filled out paperwork before, who doesn't know if they want eye insurance and they only have 10 seconds to answer. It must be overwhelming. And then take them out of that situation and then run them around your new organization like they're supposed to recall all of these people's names, and then where to find everything on the next day. This is a podcast, however, about solutions, not problems. So I'm going to share a variety of scenarios and solutions here for you to reflect upon as we move forward with new members or existing members of our teams. The first principle I want to share with you is for the first day to switch your mindset from a first day mindset of the new employee to a first date mindset. And the single driving factor of that is empathy, because it is the greatest quality of a leader. Position yourself to imagine what it must be like to join your team or your organization. Imagine for a minute that you are new to all of the inside jokes, all of the paperwork processes and softwares, and all the weird cultural nuances. Then treat it like it's a first date. Think of welcoming someone to your organization like you're going to date them. On a first date, you work to make a good impression. You show your best. You work to engage the other person. You're willing to go above and beyond in order to ensure the other person feels comfortable, safe, cared for, and that they want to be with you again. Contrast that with most first days of work. Man, if I went on a first date, which I haven't done since July of 1993, but, well, whatever. And if I went on that first date and you had me come in early in the morning, then I had to sit around and wait for the printer or copier to warm up. And then you handed me a stack of papers to fill out, then hit me with a bunch of information, never really let me speak, showed no interest in me personally, assigned me to hang out with your favorite brother in order to allow me to get to know you better. And then when it was all over, send me home exhausted and indicating that tomorrow you'll sit through a couple of presentations and that will help you explain even more of all of this information. And then please make sure to read the handbook before you come back tomorrow morning and sign it. I'm pretty sure I'd never date you again, no matter how cute you were prior, no matter how much I wanted to be around you. I'd be very disengaged. Well, why do we do that? Why do we welcome people to our teams and we all talk about ourselves? Why do we welcome people to our organization and make them figure out the visible and invisible culture? Why do we expect the person we're dating to figure it all out on their own? It's stupid, it's frustrating, but it's traditional. I used to hear, well, that's how it's always been. Well, we have to get all the paperwork done. We have to get all the information to them. They have to read and sign the handbook. They have to. I'll tell you what. When Megan and I, my wife, bought our first house 30 years ago, we made a 30-year commitment for financial commitments with contracts galore. We walked into the bank at 11 a.m. and we went out to lunch within an hour and we owned a home. I remember this vividly because all the paperwork was filled out. Everything was pre-populated. It was the first time we had seen an amortization schedule, and I realized that our $109,000 house was actually going to cost us a bazillion dollars, and that's why our banker always seems to have a new car. I digress. So let's get to the point and the strategies here. Strategy number one, the paperwork. A few years ago, I began to notice a little feature on my computer every time I went to purchase something. Autofill. I open an account somewhere or make a purchase at an online store and I type T-H-E-O and suddenly I have a drop-down bar that says Theodore Knightsky. It has my name, my contact information, and sometimes it even has my credit card information all ready to go. All I have to do is hit accept. What hit me is this is how all paperwork should be when someone starts a new job or begins on a new team. Giving a new employee homework and the responsibility to fill out 758 pages of paperwork is crazy. We have the technology to tell Alexa to buy more granola bars. Why don't we have the process in place to have all employee paperwork auto-filled so they can spend time reviewing it and then filling in uniquenesses instead of writing their name 97 times, signing and dating it over and over and over again? During the onboarding process, we should interview our new teammates and team members before they even walk in the door and get from them what we need and have all the paperwork done for them when they come in. Why the heck do we expect people to get excited for their first day of work when they know it's going to be a marathon of paperwork and stuff? It's just crazy. Strategy number two, interview the mentors, like on The Voice. Once we bring people on, We sit in committee meetings talking about them and who should their mentor be. And then we have a conversation about, well, I think this person would be a better fit or this person would be a better fit. But we don't give the new employee any voice or choice in the matter. And to the new person, that's kind of throwing them out there. But then we throw them into our organization on a blind date with a total stranger with the sad assumption that they'll build trust quickly and fall in love instantly. We should allow new employees to meet a few people on their first day and, using their first impressions, choose who they would like to have mentor them on their journey in the new organization. We should collect all of their interests in advance, their experiences. We should review the resumes. We should find people within our own organization that went to the same high school or college, training schools, lived in the same communities, and provide them a common platform from the start so that they grow a quicker bond. A few episodes ago, I discussed how we make first impressions in under a second. Well, what if we assign a mentor to someone and the first impressions are poor? As an organization or a team, we have already started the date out horribly. And instead of creating choice and voice, we have instituted an arranged marriage. Yes, they'll learn to love, but it won't be quick. Not like having a choice. Strategy number three, or principle number three, swag, technology, and food. The power of a gift is incredible. Many times on the first day of work, all we leave with is copies, receipts, and a headache. This goes for internal shifts, department to department, school to school, etc. When you first show up somewhere, you feel like everyone has stuff. They have shirts and coffee mugs, water bottles, even those weird little squish balls. Others have their technology and they have their workspace all set up. And you're still sitting around waiting. Well, create a process so that when people interview or transition, you know their size of clothes, you know their favorite colors, you know their technology needs, even collect their favorite types of food. Why? Well, on a first date, you wouldn't pick everything out for the other person. It'd be so weird. It's not the 19th or 18th century anymore where you order food for others and you give them gifts with the expectation they'll be grateful just to be in your presence. It's about impressions, feeling welcomed, reducing the natural anxieties associated with transitions. So before they even start, you have this mini profile of the new person. You use that profile and you greet them with a new shirt that fits, have their technology ready, and then you take them out to lunch with the type of food that they like, Italian, Mexican, burgers, subs, whatever. When you're new in a new organization and the establishment and the people who you work for or serve ask you questions, how do you always answer? Well, I'll tell you how everybody does. You always answer with the path of least resistance. Whatever you like, that's fine. I'm good with those pens. I'll eat wherever. Oh, I don't really care who my mentor is. I'll take any type of computer. Well, us, in a rush, what we hear from that person is we hear someone who's like totally chill. Oh, we're like, that's great. Here's an old PC. Just grab some subs. We'll eat at Jimmy John's. And next year, when we order new clothing, you can get some stuff then. But in the meantime, here's some pens with our names on it. Oh, and please continue to feel like an outsider. And sorry that you hate the processed foods from Jimmy John's that we're serving you and we didn't really even know that you had a gluten issue. Onboarding should be fun and exciting. It should be reduced stress and it should maintain the energy and enthusiasm that comes with a fresh start. Take a second right now to reflect upon your welcome strategies in your leadership, your classroom, your life. I don't care what level you work, whether that's in the workplace, a classroom, or even your house. How do you treat others when they show up for the first time? If you want accelerated mutual respect, you have to be the leader. You have to reduce the paths that create resistance, and you have to get the person to fall in love with what you're doing. Otherwise, it takes forever to get people to buy into the mission, become loyal to the vision, and value what the team values. Now, the last principle, the fourth one, is time with the boss. Whoever is in a position to explain who we are, why we exist, what we do here, and interact with the new employees or teammates, and not in large groups, but in small, intimate, malleable teams. The first day and the first date is only going to be successful if the person leaves with the answers to these two questions: do I matter to this organization? And will I be able to make a difference? If people can answer those two questions on the first date, you got them. They're in love. This strategy is critical. A first date is a real opportunity to do some amazing things around culture, engagement, and ownership. The typical first day is filled with a term that is a balloon-popping term: compliance. The first date should be about impressions, creating a clear vision for the new person, making certain that the new people have what they need to be successful, and that the new person feels empowered for the moment that they have to be set free to get to work. You know what I mean? Like when they get there, they actually know what they need to do, where to work, and who to talk to. Instead of standing around between introductions, sitting staring at a wall, not knowing what is coming next, and then leaving with a folder of paperwork that's so intimidating that they want to go to their parents or grandparents and ask for help. And that's even me. It needs to be a first date. A first date they want to go on. I want to have fun. I want to build relationships. I want fellowship and food. I always like a free shirt, pen, paper, and lunch. I love seeing my workspace and then going to meet the people I will work with. But if it comes with checklists, compliance, rush time, no opportunity to get to know people, other people throwing inside jokes back and forth, that's uncomfortable. That's anxiety building. That leads to weird stories in my head, and it makes me go home thinking, is this where I want to be? The organizational leader needs to come in with their hair on fire when they talk to the staff. They need to be talking about the organization and what they're proud of, the journey to this point, and the vision for the future. They need to lay out expectations for leadership, collaboration, teamwork, balance, support, and clearly define why they were brought in, why you matter to the organization. They need to make it clear that the organization only exists because of the people within it. They need to make certain that the new people are recognized, feel valued, and understand that no matter their role, they matter, and they really matter to the outcomes. However, we too often welcome people at warp speed, take them out to group lunches where people tell stories about each other and their experiences, and in the meantime, the new person sits there wondering, will I ever fit in? So blow that up in your organization. Make the first day a real first date. Make it all about the other people. Find the natural connections and support the rookies with chances to speed their transition and fall in love with your organization, your team, and most importantly, the mission. So let's do some smart thinking. Compare your current onboarding process or experience with the one I just described. List ways you could reduce compliance on the first day or even the first week, and describe how you can create engagement from the first minute. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please forward this to others who need to hear it and post it so others can learn it, as well as rate it and make sure to put it on your social media platform. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music, and make certain to follow them on your music platform. Finally, I shared with you at the beginning my own recent experience of being onboarded, and it was a huge OFI, an opportunity for improvement. You see, I was trapped in compliance, sat idle looking at bare walls, and the entire time I thought, this is never going to happen to me again. I'm going to make certain that others hear the need for organizations to shift from making it a hassle to start a new position and shift it into a fun-filled and engaging experience. No more being told what to do, no more being told to get some stuff later, no more wondering what people do around me. From now on, it needs to be all ears from the onboarding team and a genuine effort to ensure people get what they need when they start. Basic things like reduced anxiety, limited expectations to memorize everything that's going on, no or little paperwork, but lots of fellowship, food, and fun. If you're a teacher and this fall you have plans to set up your room and onboard students, how are you going to do that different? If you're a principal, how are you going to welcome your staff? And if you're the CEO or superintendent, how will you establish processes to ensure the first day is an opportunity to fall in love with your culture and then tell everyone they know how welcome they were on the first date? People have basic needs, and they're easy to meet if we are planning for them. If we focus on tooling others so they'll run into the storms that face them, and if we accelerate how to get them engaged early. Putting the new people first is not the easiest. It is a hard path, but we're buffaloes, and we'll run into it. But it will be the most rewarding path for them and you. And that is how we ensure that we model from the first day that we put others first, and that everyone in this organization is expected to be a leader.
I can't be found, and I feel the weight of it all over town. And I'm so far away, get a little closer every day. You're my star, you're my shaker, you're my ground, my aviator. And I say, it's alright, I'm okay, and I got nothing in my way. You're my reason for the song, and now I feel like I belong. Take a breath, little light, burn it up with me tonight. Wide awake here with you, 'cause nobody loves me like you do. So small, when they never even notice me at all. Life, it knocks me down, but it doesn't seem as hard this time around. 'Cause you're my star, you're my shaker, you're my say. It's alright, I'm okay, and I got nothing in my way. You're my reason for the song, and now I feel like I belong. Take a breath, little light, burn it up with me tonight. Wide awake, here with you, 'cause nobody loves me like you do. Something here that wasn't here before. You're my star,